Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. More numbers, not good for the utility companies.
Oh,
this is from the Connecticut Post. The state's electric companies, despite widespread criticism and investigations over slow power restoration a decade ago, have been steadily reducing their workforce while earnings rose. So you understand that, AJ?
Yes.
They're cutting the workforce.
But making more money.
Profits going up.
That's right.
We're getting worse service. I like how the government officials who hear this type of news say, huh.
We had no idea.
Like they just heard a fun fact.
Right. It's a bad fun fact,
like,
though.
Wait,
fun.
Aren't you? Wait, you're the one who's supposed to be watching this.
Me?
Me?
They're walking around like they're you know, so John Q. Public at Tax Free Week. Wait, what?
Me?
What? How dare they? We're going to have investigations. You know what? You don't have to have an investigation if you do your goddamn job.
I'm going to look inside myself.
That's funny. Oh, so funny.
You're so funny.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you guys play two songs an hour.
Oh!
I got to look into this.
I don't know who it is.
Wow. I'm going to look. We're going to call for an investigation.
Right.
We're going to get everybody together in a room and ask people questions.
It'll cost $2 million.
That's what we do. It's embarrassing for you to say,
whoa.
Should say, we're aware of it. We've been fighting it for years and... I don't know. We're going to continue to fight.
Just say no.
Rah, yeah.
Just say no comprendo.
Don't act stupid. Well, we know you're stupid.
Right. Just don't act it. Right.
Like, please.
Don't be
Part
yourself.
Part of the art of being stupid is acting like you're not.
Right. Don't be yourself.
The Connecticut Light and Power Company and Eversource subsidiary. I hate words like that in
Thank
the morning.
You.
Especially a Monday morning.
Right.
I should have edited that one out.
Well,
shed 27% of its workers since 2011.
No. Wow.
We should do a segment called Not So Fun Facts.
Right, yeah.
Here are some not so fun facts from the utility companies in Connecticut.
No. Here's stuff that sucks.
The staffing reductions followed twin 2011 storms that left more than 1.2 million residents collectively without power for weeks, prompting a $4.4 million fine against CL&P and leading to a $275 million ratepayer spending to harden the electric system.
Harden system. Can you just take a pill for that?
Clearly not hard enough.
Just take a pill.
The report shows that in 2016, CL&P employed 529 line workers and craft workers, down from 674 in 2011. So it seems like the worse it gets, the less workers they want. Maybe if we have less workers, it won't seem so screwed up.
Brilliant!
What's the thought process
Brilliant!
There?
There was no thought at all.
Yeah.
We're much better at doing this now. We need fewer people out there.
Right. Well, we can't go anywhere, right? So they're not losing customers. So when they lose money on a storm, they say, how can we make this money back for our shareholders? Cut the people who are keeping us connected.
Right.
Raise the rates.
That makes sense. A tropical storm with the stupid name left some 800,000 customers without power when it tore through the state August 4th. It's drawing comparisons to 2011 and prompting questions as to why it still takes more than a week to restore power loss.
Yes, why?
During a storm everyone knew was coming.
We knew it was coming. They had cake and
They're
everything.
Like, wait, there was a storm coming?
That's why.
I know it's just windy.
Connecticut Light and Power over the last 5 years posted a steady rise in net income, including $410 million in 2019, a $111 million increase from 2015. Parent company Eversource's finances also improved. The company reported nearly $1.78 billion in income in 2015, $1.83 billion in 2019.
Damn.
So they can't say, hey, look, a little strapped here for cash. Can you help me out until the first of the month?
A little tapped out till Monday.
A little tapped out here.
A little tapped out till Monday.
Can you get me lunch and I'll get you Friday when I get paid?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
State Rep. Bill Buckby.
Buckby?
Republican in New Milford.
Buckby?
And a member of the Energy Committee.
The team.
Was surprised at the workforce reductions.
Where'd the Buckby?
Now listen to this.
Okay.
He's a member of the Energy Committee.
Uh-huh.
He is surprised at the workforce reductions. I'm sorry, did we just wake you up at the table?
Right. Hey. Buckby.
Hey, Buckby.
Yo.
Buckby. Wake up. Huh? What?
What'd I miss?
A
lot.
I picture B.
Like everything.
I picture a bee with horns. It's a Buckby.
Energy committee.
Well, he was asleep. He had no energy.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of those staff reductions.
Whoops.
Well, then what do you do? Like, you're on the energy committee. Do you look at energy type stuff?
Just to sit there and look important.
What's up, Doc?
Just to sit there and look important and have lunch.
This is funny. Now they're running around. We're going to investigate. How about you just pay attention?
Yeah, it's like, try that first.
Quote, the number of linemen they are required to keep has to be revisited. We had people with lines across their road 7 or 8 days. People were trapped in their homes.
I'm trapped in my house.
A spokesman for Eversource declined comment on staffing levels, saying answers will be supplied during the upcoming legislative hearings and an expected state regulatory review of the storm response. Remember how they all ran up to Hartford to do that, quote, police reform?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't know. So 800, what was it? 800,000 people were without power for a week, and you're stomping your fist on your desk now. You can't run up to Hartford and have a special session?
Go for it. Did it before. Do it now.
The Pura study on utility staffing concluded that mandating minimum employment levels would cost ratepayers millions in higher rates. How does that work when they're making billions in profits every year?
It's a mystery.
Eversource serves more than 1.3 million customers statewide. UI serves nearly 340,000 customers.
A lot of people.
Prior to the tropical storm with the stupid name, Eversource notified the state that it was preparing for a level 4 storm that could be between 125 and 380,000 outages. Well, UI prepared for a level 3 storm, which projected nearly twice as many outages. We were closer to a high level 3, almost a 2.
Huh.
We have 5 event levels, 1 being the worst.
Take it easy, yes.
Eversource missed the mark on estimating the storm.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, is that really the problem? It's going to happen. You're going to see weather, and you're going to say one thing's going to happen, and you really don't know. You can't, like, go around and do a survey of the trees.
No,
hey, Mr. Tree, how are you feeling today?
How do you think
you'll do up against 65 miles?
I think pretty good.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, pretty sure.
All right, can I take your word on that? Because, you know.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
The power depends on it.
Yeah, you know.
If you fall, can you fall backwards and not on our lines?
I'll do my best.
Okay, thank you. All right, survey complete.
Kind of hard to bend.
Company pointed out that while the storm with the stupid name caused 25% more damage than Superstorm Sandy and Tropical Storm Irene, power was restored 33% less time.
Hmm.
So the Connecticut Post doing this story ran into a retired CL&P lineman and union business manager. And these people are the best people to talk to because once they're retired, they could actually say
exactly
the truth.
Open all the secrets. This is what happened.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Stand back. Here we go.
They could do it without worrying about losing their job.
Right.
Or being demoted. He said the combination of staff reductions, more reliance on outside crews, and changes in how repair crews are deployed has slowed restoration. What's interesting is that we heard all of that come through the phones from former workers. They changed the way they operate. They went to response specialists. They closed work centers so they had a remote workforce. Crews had a common complaint, how much time was being wasted driving across the state.
Mm.
Back in the day, your group had that station and you fixed everything. Now they are running around shuffling people to get around to get each town under 10%. Leaving people, and then they'll just leave. They'll leave people in the dark because they want to get, their thing is get every town under 10%.
Yeah. Hit and run.
And then you can go back.
Right.
These two tribe members have been on hold forever.
Oh.
Wanting to talk about their power.
Gotcha.
Jeff in Oxford.
Hey, what's up, fellas? And Ashley, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, so make this quick. Coincidentally, last year, the state of California sued PGE. 20 years, there hasn't been any blackouts. All of a sudden, there is.
Huh.
The state gets involved with regulatory issues in the rate hike in July. All of a sudden, slow response by Eversource. Coincidental?
Good fact.
Yeah, that's a not so fun fact.
Right.
Yeah,
not so fun fact. But it's probably coming, folks. It's coming. The more the state keeps messing with them, the more we're going to see more of it back and forth like that.
I don't want to say perfect storm. Or whatever, but that was, that timing was weird, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Massive rate. Everyone got our bills. We're like,
Oh,
then Pure's like, we're going to look into this. I'm like, well, you approved it, but yeah, okay, whatever.
Right. You've already
and
looked into it.
We're going to suspend this increase until we look into it. And then the very next week, boom, the power's out, and it takes, you know, a good amount of time to get it back.
Almost like rehearsed.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jeff in Oxford.
Thank you, Jeff.
And Chris in Madison.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Going out?
Well, power went out yesterday.
In Madison?
The new norm. Yep. A couple hundred people actually were out.
For how long?
I lost it about 1:15. And I got a text message saying we're going to evaluate. So then they put it to 3:45. I got two or three phone calls. Then they put it to 8:45 p.m.
That's a long time.
And they don't know what's going on anymore. As soon as one little
did they say that? Was that in the text?
We have no idea.
You know, you get the text alerts from
right.
Eversource.
It's in WTF.
They get a text. We don't know what's going on anymore.
Right.
Okay.
The person said, "Yeah, 1:45."
Right.
Estimated power return 3:45.
Right.
Estimated power. We don't know what's going on
anymore. With a shrugging guy emoji.
Yeah, no, a guy shrugging with a question mark over his head.
Yeah.
With a little workman helmet.
Right.
Yeah, well, what I think's going on is they overshoot it so that if they get it on earlier than that, they'll be like, oh, they did a great job.
Yeah,
yes. Like Scotty
that's
in Star Trek.
Yep.
He'd say, I need 3 hours. And then he would do it in an hour and a half and seem like a genius.
Right. Well, the only hour show. So.
But that didn't happen during the storm.
Yeah.
I got a text saying, your power will be returned tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'm like, 11 a.m.? That's fantastic.
That works great for me.
Then came noon and 1 and 2 and 3 and 5 and 8 and 7 and 9.
Which 11
it
you mean?
It wasn't until the next day.
Oh.
It's like, why would you do that?
At
why?
Why
would you do that?
Good morning, Senator Blumenthal.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Morning.
What's the deal with Eversource and the utility companies in Connecticut?
I think there needs to be some fundamental reform here. You know, I've called for refunds from the very start. I've called for a commitment from the company that it will not charge for the cost of restoring power and that it'll reimburse for losses. But also, I've called for really restructuring the way that we regulate these companies.
So give me like a 30-second version of how you would change the way it works now.
Right now, companies get a rate of return that's a percentage picked based on a hearing as to what their contentions are about what's fair. The rate of return is not tied to performance. I would tie it to actual delivery of services. And likewise, what the executives are paid would be tied to how well they do. That's the way it operates with most companies, as you well know. In utilities, they have a monopoly. They are given a percentage rate of return, 8%, 9%. Most companies would be delighted to have that rate of return, and they're guaranteed it. So the top executives are compensated. In fact, they're paid incentives for meeting that rate of return when it's all set by law. That's why the top five executives of Eversource get $40 million, and the chief executive officer gets $20 million, and the company is making seven times in the last quarter what it did in the same quarter of the previous year. So its profits are up seven times in the midst of a pandemic and an economic crisis.
So what would you have them do? More tree trimming, more crews, more – how would they make the storm, the recovery of the storm that we just experienced better? What would be
Great
acceptable?
Question. Well, what they've done over the years in cutting their costs, which of course raise their profits, is to eliminate many of their workers, their linesmen, their crews on the ground. So instead, when a storm comes, they stage people from outside the state, the so-called mutual aid agreements. In this instance, they had 400 ready to go. What they eventually needed was 2,500 as a minimum, probably more. That shows you the lack of preparedness. So one thing I would require is more preparedness, but also, you're absolutely right, more tree trimming, not cutting of trees, blanket kind of wholesale cutting across the state, but simply the trimming.
If they're going down, Senator, if they're going down a road and there's trees on private property, they have to get permission from those people to trim those trees?
They probably should seek permission, but if permission is denied, they have the right to maintain their wires.
Okay. I thought that was a problem. I thought it was, well, we want to cut these trees, but people won't let us trim their trees.
Right.
So you would say
a legal right.
You wouldn't ask them to hire more people. You would say have more people ready in the face of a storm. Because outside of a storm, you're happy with their service, right? Maybe their prices, what they're charging us, not great, but the service is not bad, right? Like, if there's not a storm, I don't really have a power outage.
It ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
Yeah.
One question for the hearings that the Public Utility Regulatory Authority is going to conduct is, are people satisfied with the service? I happen to be satisfied most of the time with my service. By the way, we owe a great thanks to all those crews, all the linesmen, all the guys who were out there in the midst of a heat wave and sometimes rain, restoring that power. Those guys are really frontline workers.
Yeah,
in the
no
midst
doubt.
Of the pandemic. They ought to be thanked. But so I'm happy with my linesmen and the guys who actually come to repair. But I think the service could be better. My main gripe is with the rates. We have the highest rates in the United States. Why is that?
How bad was that bill?
Why?
Except for Hawaii.
Why is? And here's the deal, Senator, that regular people walk around and just say, you know, these guys are all in bed with one another. Because you set up, not you, but the politicians have set up this system, right?
Yeah.
And now they're running around saying, hey, we got to look into this. Well, wait a minute. What are you looking into? You've set this up.
Look in the mirror.
Like, we had a quote from someone on the Energy Commission from Connecticut, politician, right? Said, all these job cuts, but this is startling. I'm going to have to look into this. It's like, well, wait, you're on the Energy Commission. Why wouldn't you already know this?
You don't remember?
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what has us scratching our heads. Like, come on, what's going on?
Well, you're right that the state legislature set up the regulatory system quite a while ago. I've been United States Senator for 10 years. I opposed the merger that resulted in Eversource. You remember we used to have Northeast Utilities and CLNP. Then it merged with a major Boston-based utility, NSTAR, and in effect was taken over. So the leadership of the company now is based in Boston. The guys who came here to supervise the storm recovery came from Boston. So the opposition to the merger by myself and others didn't prevent it from going through. And the regulatory system was established quite a while ago with good intentions by the legislature, but it's not working as well as it should.
It was really set up to protect the politicians from bad decisions. They could say, well, it was Pure who did it, not us.
Right, they did.
All right?
Yes.
Let me put it this way.
A lot of the folks who were responsible for the regulatory system then are not around now. We have a chance to go forward and reform the system and maybe even break up the company.
Pura? Or the,
there ought to be...
Or Eversource.
Eversource. If there is a way to have more competitive or responsive service and rates, we ought to do it. But the point is, we should now, before we look in, maybe learn some lessons. You're absolutely right, from the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, when that big bill came in last month...
Did you hear a scream?
Did you hear a screaming from where you are?
By the way, there is, let me just emphasize one other point.
Okay.
There is actually a federal side to the charges. It's a transmission charge that is set by a federal agency known as FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
What, the FERC?
For years.
Yeah, that's what I said.
For years, I have said that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission should be restructured or reformed to be more responsive to consumers. And yet a lot of your bill, that transmission charge, is from an agency or approved by an agency that is totally beyond the control of consumers in Connecticut. Now, those politicians are in Washington, D.C. Most people don't even know what FERC is. I think the transmission charges should be lowered.
I feel like I've been FERC.
I'm going to take that right to FERC.
The delivery charge is ridiculous because it makes it people feel like, oh, I only use this much electricity, but look at the delivery charge. Just make it all one. The bill is the bill. We've had people say that, you know, it's the legislature forced Eversource to buy half of the power from Millstone. Millstone charges a lot, and that the legislature forced all kinds of alternative and reusable energies in there. Those are expensive. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I know we pay a lot for electricity.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know about, you know, a 65-mile-an-hour tropical storm coming through and blowing out power for 4, 5, 6, 7 days. I don't know if that's horrible. They were unprepared for the size of the storm, but I don't know. Storm, wires, trees, going to happen.
Do that. Right? Yeah.
So we're going to have some outages.
That's what the company says. It was all the storm's fault. It's all Mother Nature. You know, this is inevitable. Well, storms are inevitable. Of course, the new normal monster storms that we're seeing, you can attribute to maybe climate change. I think it's responsible for part of it. But the point here is exactly the one you just made. Better preparation. They knew it was coming.
Right. Climate change or not, we've always had storms rip through the state. You know, since the beginning of time.
And by the way, people lost a lot of money.
Right.
I went to a grocery.
What do you think the chances are of getting them to write checks like Con Ed did for New York and New Jersey?
Well, I asked the CEO of the company to do it, and he essentially declined.
I asked him to make refunds.
That's the worst.
Well, I was meeting with him.
I think you need to bang. Senator, I think you need to bang on the door. Bang on his door and say,
well,
hold on.
I am Blumenthal.
He'll freak out.
Change his mind. Yeah. Right away.
Wear a little jacket, too.
Keep us posted.
I did meet with him, and he declined to make refunds. He declined to commit that they wouldn't charge for the cost of restoring the power.
Unreal. And, well, now it's time to break it
I
up.
I think one last point here. You know, I've been all around the state. I've talked to a lot of small business people who have really been hurt.
Like dwarfs?
Grocery stores that had to throw out produce and perishables, restaurants that were closed and they discarded food, other small businesses that are hurting because of the pandemic. And remember, this lack of preparation came in the midst of a pandemic. The company wanted to raise rates in the midst of an economic crisis when families are struggling to put food on the table. I think that indicates a certain lack of responsiveness and maybe caring about customers. I think that
the legislature doesn't get off the hook on this one, though. They approved it. They had a colonoscopy.
No.
It's a humiliating experience when you're just putting your ass out there.
Exactly, literally, on the line.
Yeah.
On the table.
But I got to Bridgeport Hospital, by the way. I really love them. They were great with my dad when he was there, and every time I've been there, they've been great.
Yep.
And I noticed they, I don't know how long this has been, but they changed to blue nursing uniforms. So they're wearing the blues now. Before they would wear like whatever bottom and then like a psychedelic top, like one of those tops that's all different
fancy.
Colors.
You know?
Yeah. It's more uniform now.
And so they're walking around. They all look like Jennifer. I'm like, oh my God.
I think some hospitals started that during COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like I'm walking in. I'm like, it's a little army of Jennifers. Those nurses couldn't have been nicer or more professional. And, you know, they spend so much time making you feel comfortable. And you would think they'd get desensitized after a while. Like, here I am, day 1,000.
Yep.
You know, with patient 10,000. And you know how on those television shows they show like a cop eating a sandwich in the morgue,
yeah,
near a dead body?
Right.
Because they're just trying to show you how they do this every day, so they get tired.
Doesn't affect them, yeah.
And, like, this is just background to them.
Right.
So for them to act like, wow, you're the very first patient coming in the door, and we're going to make sure you feel very comfortable. You know, those nurses are just great. And,
yeah,
you know, you forget just, I don't know, six so months ago, we were like, they're heroes. They're walking into, you know, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they still are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can't
right.
Forget.
So I want to thank them very much. And as I was sitting there, see, now my family, we were the family that you did not go to the hospital unless you're arm was dangling off.
And even then, how was dangling?
Even then, that was a negotiation.
And you better not complain about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I can sew you.
Well, you want to eat or have your arm replaced?
It's like when your arm is dangling off by a thread, you're almost like, man, if I just pull the rest of it off,
right,
I know I could go to the hospital.
Or feed the family.
So I'm not someone who goes to the hospital a lot. And when I do go, there is this level of anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there in the room. It's just a common procedure, and I'm like, holy cow, I'm crapping. Now, if I had crap in my butt, I'd be crapping myself.
That's why they had to get rid of it first.
I have no crap to
crap. You have right. none left.
Just a bunch of air. There's no crap over here.
Right, right. Just a little sign comes and goes, empty.
Get the crap out.
Right.
I got the crap out.
Ah, got the crap.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I just, you know what snapped me back? I was thinking about all the kids we've seen in cancer units at Yale.
Uh-huh.
And they go through this, and they're just so damn brave. And they're staring down some serious business. Mm. And they're just kids.
Yeah.
And then I thought of Phil's Amanda and her whole trek, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, snap me right back. Like, okay, it's like going to the dentist.
Yeah, don't be a bitch.
Relax, dude.
Yeah, got this.
Right. I told myself, relax.
You smacked him across the face.
Hey, I said, don't tell me. Relax.
You better see. Come on, snap out of it.
And the reception was like, sir, are you okay?
Why are you smacking yourself,
sir? Why are you yelling at yourself?
You're smacking yourself, sir. Why?
Stop hitting yourself.
Yeah. So I got the magic juice this time. Last time I did not.
Right.
And I got the magic juice.
Isn't that stuff amazing?
I said, what's your name? What's your address? I wake up. How did I get into this room?
Is that the best?
It was great.
Yep. It's like, wow, that's awesome. I slept so good.
Oh, my God. Should we all have that for, like, meetings?
Yes, we should. We should. Little inhaler.
Okay, today we're going to talk about. And that concludes the meeting.
Right.
Wow, that was great.
I feel refreshed.
Oh, for yourself. I thought you meant for the person talking. Just like a little blow dart. Right. This meeting is going beyond.
Right. Oh, that's good too. That's good.
Right.
Yeah, either one. Yeah, just that. You right. know what's funny? Phil put his actually literally reenacted that where his head hit the keyboard.
And then something happened to my
computer. I heard someone talking. Yeah. He heard voices.
But here's the question I have now.
Here's the question.
So they found two polyps, right? And last time I went 5 years. So I'm on the 5-year plan. Normally you're on the 10. You get checked. They don't see anything. You go on a 10-year plan.
Yes.
So 5 years ago, they found three.
Right.
And they were like, all right, now you're on the 5-year plan. And they tested them, and they were precancerous.
Okay.
Which means, I think that means
they were going to continue growing if you didn't snip them out of
there. They could go either way, right?
Right.
I think it could be nothing, or it could be something.
So you had three last time, two this time, so next time you won.
Right. So I have I'm averaging one per year.
You got a Casey Kasem countdown on your butthole.
That's right. Next time I'll have one.
Casey Kasem's countdown in Chaz's butthole.
We're counting them down.
They count them down. Last time was three. Five. This time only two. Next time be number one on the bullet.
Right. So what does that mean, though? Like,
I don't know.
It means the longer you let that go without looking at it, the more trouble you're in.
Yeah. I wonder how, you know. So, classic example of why everyone should go.
Yep.
And what did he say? Men and women, 40 or over, right?
Well, they want to change things 45? Up. They change things up also. It's kind of boring.
So, we're going to have the doctor on at around 8:20, and I'm going to ask him. So, now, should young Chaz start going now?
Right.
Because he said, like, if you have any of this history, you know.
In your family, yeah.
Right.
When did you get your first scan?
5 years ago.
So, what was the age?
I don't know. 51.
51. All right.
Yeah.
And maybe 40, 45 for young Chaz.
I think I'll ask a doctor, though. But
they
I
keep lowering the age.
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Phil
this is
here.
A guy who just put his head against a keyboard. Dr. Phil. Why haven't we done something on that, Dr. Phil?
Are you nuts?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I prefer to keep my hair.
Yeah.
Get you one of those swim caps.
Oh, and then, you know, Jennifer, it's great living with a nurse, but sometimes it's ungreat living with a nurse.
Ungreat?
Yeah. You know, it's just too much interference and questions.
Too much caring.
Right.
Damn it.
It's okay.
Don't bother me, damn it. I'm a man.
Right. She takes good care of him, though, right?
Right. No, there'll be a time where she'll be, you know, I'm 9 years older than her. There'll be a time where she'll be wiping my butt.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right.
That's
a weekend thing?
It's
a weekend thing? I probably shouldn't know anymore. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
But when you take this happy juice, you can't drive.
No, you cannot.
For that entire day. So I get out, and I'm like, you know, I'm good. Like, I can definitely drive.
You could not. So
they will not release you unless your ride is downstairs. They walk you down. I'm like, son of a.
You were actually escorted out.
Yeah.
It was nice, only by one person this time.
Well, my thought was, I'll just walk down and get my car and drive away.
Right, that's what your thought was, yeah.
And I know it's stupid, but I'm just being honest over here.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they're like, oh, we're going to escort you down. So I call AJ. I'm like, yeah, you're going to have to be down there, or I'm not going to be sprung.
Yep.
So we get downstairs, and then I open his truck door. Which, by the way, you need a stepladder to get in. Like, I almost couldn't reach the handle to open the door.
I probably should have put the car.
I'm like, what is this thing?
I should have put the car.
Right?
Climb every mountain.
And I say, AJ, you know, I'm just going to drive home. I'm fine. And he looks at me and goes, are you sure?
Right. You look pretty baked.
Yeah.
Your eyes are, like, totally glazed. Like, one eyeball is, like, starting to go on scan. Like,
I felt fine.
I'm like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah. AJ gave me a ride back.
Anytime.
So I appreciate that.
Anytime.
Very nice.
Yep.
So.
Either I would have followed you and made a viral video.
Dr. Thornton. Paging Dr. Thornton. Dr. Thornton.
Dr. Thornton.
Paging Dr. Thornton.
Why are you holding your nose?
It's Dr. Thornton with Yale Health in Bridgeport. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Excellent.
Going, I get it. Ha.
So we did the procedure, the colonoscopy. Well,
Were you participating?
I was a participant, but I had the easy part.
You were a contestant, actually. He was the game show host.
We found some stuff, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Wheel of butt.
But first, I just want to talk about your staff.
Excellent.
Unbelievable. Top notch.
Aren't they spectacular? Top to bottom, start to finish. They're the best group of people around.
That's what they do, bottom to top.
Team.
Yep.
They are the A team. You know, they go into work every day and they see this stuff every day, but yet they treated me like this was the first time they had someone who might have some anxiety over something
right.
so small. You know, they weren't like, this is nothing.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right. That piece
Here's
of
your
cake.
Stuff. Get
piece
dressed.
Yeah.
Whatever.
In and out.
They were just so great.
Bing,
now,
bing,
I'm not a hospital person.
No.
You don't right? My, growing up, you didn't go to the hospital unless your arm was dangling off by only one thread.
See, and even two.
Yeah. You get a Band-Aid.
Right.
So I'm not a hospital person. So when I'm in a hospital, I have some anxiety. And I felt like they've read that immediately, and they were just all over and just such professionals.
All the sweat in your face.
The amount of double-checking.
Yeah.
Name, birthday, address, and then all the questions. It was just so great. Like, really, what a great staff you have.
That's good to hear. And I'll tell you, from the double-checking point of view, there are a few people who send someone else in for their colonoscopy, just like when you're taking your math test in ninth grade.
Really?
I should have done that. I didn't even think about it.
It's in Pastor, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, Chaz, I forgot to mention one thing. For the men out there, the year you get a colonoscopy, you can avoid having your digital prostate exam by your medical doctor, because while you're asleep, the person doing your colonoscopy also gets the best prostate exam, because you're asleep, so you can do a really good exam. So I have to tell you also, your prostate's fine.
Look at that, see?
Oh, wait, you were, oh, you had your,
you had a two-for-one right. deal.
Wait yeah. a minute, wait a minute,
wow.
wait a minute.
Check that out. Do you feel a little looser this
Is
morning?
Is that real? You were doing things to me with your finger?
So just so you know, sure, it's always done because you're asleep, you get a good prostate exam. But, you know, we are a teaching hospital, so there are three medical students in there who also took part.
There were a couple of surgical residents. I saw at least one.
And there were two people on the way to the cafeteria who just popped in and did it as well.
Nice. Right. And then the janitor, Hector, said, let me get a shot at that. Okay, Mike? Yeah, go ahead, Hector. Go ahead. Clean it out while you're out of here. Right. Yeah, that's okay. Use that's okay. Use the gloved hand. We're good.
So I think you're good for the next 9 years for your prostate exam.
Right. Did you feel it hanging
Very
there
good.
At all? Nice.
So you found a couple polyps.
Right. So it's very common for people to have polyps. Polyps are pre-cancer, wart-like things that grow in the intestines. Approximately one-third of all Americans will get polyps. So getting polyps is a common thing.
Okay. So nothing.
And if you're moved.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yep. And someone who does a colonoscopy, their eye is 99% accurate in making sure it's not a cancer, though we send it to the microscope lab all the time anyway.
Keep busy.
But you have nothing to worry about because you had routine-looking polyps.
Nice. See?
Oh, okay. And last time I had three, right?
Yes.
Last time I had three, so 5 years ago, three. And I thought those were precancerous. So what does that mean? That's good.
So as long as you remove them, who cares? They're there just like weeds in a garden.
Yep.
As long as you go to the garden and pick the weeds once in a while, you're okay.
Your dandelions are gone, Chaz.
Okay. And so now I'm on the five-year plan.
Correct.
Right? So let's just say I never went, right? And then five mm-hmm. years ago I had three. Now I have two more. At what age would you think I'd say, oh, what I got to go see a doctor, and then it's like trouble?
So the average age of colorectal cancer in this country is about 60 or so, though we're definitely seeing a downward trend in age over the last 15 years or so, and we're seeing a lot more younger people. So the youngest patient I operated on was 18, and there are people now in their late 20s and 30s that I'm operating on a more frequent basis.
Wow.
Probably having to do, believe it or not, with how we eat and the bacteria that grow in the food we eat, and the changing bacteria causing an increased risk of the intestinal lining turning to cancer.
Holy crap, literally.
Literally, yes.
Yeah, how's that? Yeah.
That's,
So they talk about something called the microbiome, or the little bacteria that everybody has in their intestines. And everybody has different bacteria. They produce different air coming out of you and different poop coming out of you.
Yeah.
But probably our
diet
has
changed. I got the worst air, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
right
during
now.
The weekend, it changed entirely.
The body is so gross.
Yeah, it's like, it's not Febreze in here.
So, but it's probably a change in diet over tens and 20s of years that's changed American microbiome, that has lowered the average colorectal cancer age in recent years.
So young Chaz is 27, and because I've had five over 5 years, would you say he gets one soon or when?
So he gets one at age 40. Okay, so anybody who has a family member at age 40, yep.
13 years ago, gotcha.
Oh, okay. So 40 if you have a family member, and then what age if you don't?
Then age 45, there's new guidelines, age 45. It used to be 50, but because we're noticing a downtrend in age of cancers, we're also downtrending the age of starting colonoscopies. So 45 is now the time that normal, healthy people should start getting colonoscopies.
I believe that I woke up in the room for a brief second.
Oh.
And I'm going to I'm going to tell you something I think I remember.
Uh-oh.
And you tell me if it happened. The moment that you were pulling the scope out of my butt.
Ugh!
That was Ashley.
So gross. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Right. The moment that you pulled it out, I let out a big fart and you said, oh, there it is. Did that happen?
Nope.
Okay.
That was as a scope comes out, it doesn't happen that way.
Okay. Actually, Dr. Thornton did it.
Right, so I had...
That was
I blamed it on Chaz. That's right.
Right. There's no dog to blame. I blame Chaz on that.
Boy, that Chaz.
I can't. Woo, boy. What the hell do you eat? Woo.
Okay, because I had a dream. That happened.
And he's also king of England now,
and
too.
I was like, wow, I woke up in the recovery room.
He who pulls the colonoscopy sword from Chaz's ass is now king of England.
Procedure room.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to hear what other dreams you had if that was part of it.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah. There's all the champagne and satin curtains.
Well, Doc, you're the best, and thanks for that. I appreciate you and your staff.
And at the countdown, you had 3, 2, next is 1. New Year's.
Yeah, man, my staff is spectacular. They get all the kudos. They make the process comfortable.
How long have we as a society been doing colonoscopies, and what was it like back in the early days? Like, was it like a monkey wrench or,
It was a tiny mouse with a miner's helmet named Smitty.
Right.
Smitty the Wonder Mouse.
So we actually started with a straight instrument, okay? And if you can imagine, if you want to look into any body orifice, sorry to use the terms, all you need is a straight steel tube and a light. So believe it or not, we've been doing rigid scoping of the anus and rectum since 1902.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe it?
Well, that's
flashlights were 9 foot long back then.
I imagine they had no prep then either. It was just coffee.
Oh, my God. Just stick a flute up there.
Yeah, you had Vaseline and whiskey. Vaseline and whiskey.
Exactly true. And instead of using a light, they used a butt light.
I want a butt light.
Ah!
No, but we've been doing that since 1902.
I'm like, wait, a butt light?
I'd rather have regular Budweiser, thank you.
I know we have them now. I didn't know we had them then.
Yes.
Now, the flexible one that we use now that can go through a whole intestines was started in the mid-70s, and that's because we needed fiber optics in order to be able to have curving light go through different parts of the body. So it started in the 1970s. It wasn't until about the year 2000 where we started doing colonoscopies on everybody on a routine basis, because before that, Medicare in particular thought it was too expensive to do it on everybody.
Yeah, they learned that one fast, right?
Yes, they did, yep.
Yeah.
They actually found out that it's better to find cancer before it's found because it's cheaper to a large healthcare system. So they actually found out that because it's cheaper, they'd start to pay for it.
Aha! Mm.
Dr. Thornton, thank you. And again, thanks to your staff at Bridgeport Hospital. Appreciate it, brother. Mike from the Burlington Fire Department is on now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for what you do. How dramatic of a rescue was this?
It wasn't all that dramatic. It could have been, but treating the patient out on the trail with the paramedics helped greatly improve his condition to the point where he was actually able to walk out on his own.
Which, oh, that's great.
Saved us a lot of labor-intensive extrication from the woods.
So what's the story? What happened?
Family was out hiking on the trail known as the Tunxus Blue Trail and Yellow Dot Trail.
All right, so the family, how many people?
There was four. It was a mother, father, and two sons.
Okay. How old are the boys?
14 and 16.
Okay.
So the trail had sustained damage from Tropical Storm Iaisa, so some of the trees were down and the trail wasn't easily accessible. And there was a point where they were crossing the trail about a mile and a half in and they disturbed a bee nest.
Uh-huh. So what, like they had to go off the trail because of a tree and then they hit a bee's nest?
Hit a bee's nest and Dad took the brunt of it.
Was the bee's nest on a branch or is it buried in the mud or like where was it?
That was the unknown. No one knows exactly where it was.
My brother got into a bee's nest. It was in the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what kind of bees go
really?
In the dirt?
Well, yeah. I know yellow jackets were in the dirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I just know he was digging in the dirt, and the next thing you know, I just saw just like black cloud around him.
Him flailing his arms.
Oh, yeah. He had to go to the emergency room.
Yeah. Doing the windmill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, that's embarrassing because you're a dad, and you're like, I got this.
Right. You kids.
Don't worry.
Run. Save yourselves. I always love you. Dad. Honey, you want honey chicken today for dinner?
How many times was he stung?
I don't know the exact number of times, but it was to the point where he started getting dizzy and lightheaded and was unable to walk.
Ooh.
So shortly after 11, dispatch received a cellular 911 call reporting the incident.
It's weird because a bee sting is a combination of like getting a needle stuck in your arm and then a burn.
Yeah. And a little like little mole hill comes up after.
Yeah, it just in it the you know, you get stuck with a needle, the pain goes away when you pull the needle out. This just is a lingering.
It's like a grenade. You just pull the pin.
Yeah.
Ah!
So he got stung multiple times, then got lightheaded. Was he going into shock? Anaphylactic shock?
He was having an allergic reaction that he hadn't had before, hives and, you know, shortness of breath. Ooh. So the 911 system worked the way it was supposed to. The mapping showed exactly where they were. Fire and EMS were dispatched to that location, and the dispatch center forwarded the map showing exactly where he was on the trail.
That's pretty good work.
So the 14- and 16-year-old son actually hiked back out of the trail to the trailhead. One of the sons waited for first responders to guide us in, and the second son went knocking on doors trying to find Benadryl that he could run back to his father.
Smart.
Nice.
They divided, conquered. They each had a mission.
And
very good.
And used the bathroom, too.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
They had a plan.
Those kids get out of chores for a week.
I don't want to pee out here. Yeah. Brownie point.
And you guys got to use the ATV. See, if I'm a firefighter in Burlington, I want the call where we get to use the ATVs.
Oh, boy!
Right. They did. They brought out the ATVs. All the toys came out.
Nice.
And the location of it, well, the trailhead is in the southwest corner near Bristol and Terryville. So we had requested additional assistance from Bristol Fire and Terryville Fire in case we had to physically carry the guy out of the woods about a mile and a half.
Wow. Have you ever had to carry a really heavy person out of the woods?
Yes.
Do you hear that? Yes?
Yep.
Yes.
You can tell. It still lingers in his mind.
How heavy and how far were they in?
They were approximately a mile in, and they were pretty heavy. And it is labor intensive. You feel it in the shoulders.
I heard a story of one EMT person who went out in the middle of the woods to find someone who twisted an ankle.
Yeah.
Very, very heavy person. And they got there. They pulled the stretcher over a mile in. They see the person. They're like, all right, we're going to need an ATV up here. So they radio that in. They're staying with the patient. The patient's having a cigarette.
Nice.
Oh, no.
And flicks the cigarette into the woods.
Really?
Oh, no.
And the firefighters are looking at him like, really?
We're right here.
We're right here.
You've got to be kidding me.
You know Smokey Bear by any chance?
Yeah. So, all right. And then you guys arrive and so he walked out on his own. You didn't have to put him on the back of the ATV?
We didn't have to put him on the ATV or carry him out in the rescue basket. The medic, EMT, and the firefighters went in, and they did treatment on the trail. And his condition improved to the point where he wanted to walk out on his own.
Yeah, it was so easy. They said, there's a bee behind you.
There he goes.
Wow, he really took off, didn't he?
Wow, he looks fine.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? So it was a good story. Everything worked away exactly the way it was supposed to. And by the time they got back out to the road, he was good. And he decided he didn't need any further treatment or assistance from us. And everyone packed up and went home.
There you go. See?
Oh, good.
Just time for lunch.
Well, nice job, Mike.
Thanks. The guys worked hard. And like I said, you know, we trained for these things. And everything worked from 911 to the kids coming out and assisting. And
it's nice to have a good good result.
It is.
Yeah.
That's beer time, right? After that, go back to the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, go back to the house, crack a beer. Nice job.
You know, during it was time for beer,
we got
too.
To use the ATVs.
Exactly. It was a good day.
I'm driving next time.
Right.
My turn! You got a turn last time! I love those things, because they're so cool, and they get the fire department badge on it.
Right, and a little whistle on it.
They're red.
It. Right, woo-woo.
It's like, oh, that I want to drive those. I see them at the carnivals and the fairs.
I think really cool.
So
super cool.
Mike's cracking up. He thought he was going to talk to adults.
Yeah, really. we got stung by
sorry,
bees.
Mike.
Yeah. Very disappointing.
All right, well, thanks to you and everyone there in the Burlington Fire Department and everyone who showed up for this.
Oh, thanks. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you, Mike. A technically challenged uncle accidentally streamed Pornhub in front of his entire family while trying to play music through the TV. Here's the reaction.
Oh, my God.
Caught a effing belter.
Huh?
That's a term I've never heard before.
Scottish slang for an incompetent person.
Nice. I caught an effing belter.
Does it have to be effing belter, or can you just say belter?
Caught a belter.
I don't know.
You couldn't say that, but you know.
I kind of like that term.
I kind of like it. Mm. What a t-shirt says that.
Oh, that is bad.
The whole family just saw
the
that.
The whole family.
Yep.
His attempt to fix the problem was great, too.
Just stood in front
of the TV with his arms out.
Yeah.
No! No one can see this!
No! Yeah.
Don't look!
Try to power
Stop
it off.
Looking.
Try to power it
Someone
off.
Someone make some corn! Pop some corn! Kids like corn! Who wants ice cream? I'm buying! Truck's outside!
Is that what you would say? Someone make some corn?
Anything!
I didn't say
porn. Corn works.
Oh,
corn. Popcorn, you know.
Corn for the porn.
No, yes, exactly. Hot butter. No, that doesn't work either. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Pop some corn.
Pop some corn. Everybody pop some corn.
Pop some corn.
What?
Well, apparently he copped some porn instead.
Oh, I got you.
Yes.
All right. Can we hear that reaction again?
Yeah.
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 Oh, my God.
Caught a belter. Caught a belter. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Listen to that scream in the background.
That sounds familiar.
It does.
Yeah, we know someone who screams just like that. Yeah. The same pitch
oh
and everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hold on. Same exact scream.
She's still getting attacked by bees.
Same pitch. Yeah, you would think they'd finish running by now. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
God, can you play that? Play the whole clip.
It's the same screen.
Wow.
It is.
There's a dead mouse at the bottom of the game. It's like ancestry.com. We found her Scottish sister.
I just hurt myself trying to do that.
Yeah, really. Your neck, like, exploded.
Like three bees explode in the air. That is some shriek, man. I'm surprised I can still hear after that. Made grandma deaf.
You should send like an 23andMe or an ancestry.com. I bet Jennifer's related to this person.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey.
Oh,
that's not it.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's Scottish. Oh, my God.
Oh.
I didn't understand what you
I left it on the counter. Please take care of the water in there.
Rid of that right now.
I don't want to touch.
Just take it and do it. Dump it in the garbage can.
You're going to have to take it. It's gone. All right. It's gone.
All right. Thank you. Just take
it.
Do it.
Put it down. I freaked out. I really don't want to touch it.
Your neighbors or your house,
I think that was a different clip.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.